Hey, it's Becca.
It's Nancy.
It's Brixie.
And this is
Insane Investigations.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Thank you so much for listening. So sorry for the delay yet again, but we're getting there. So today we're going to be talking about the Kowalski family. I'm sure everybody has heard about them at this stage from the Netflix documentary Taking Care of Maya. Obviously, the three of us watched it and we found it really interesting. So we thought we'd do more of a deep dive into it and kind of fill you guys in on what we found. Plus, it's kind of something that's trending at the moment, so I think it's something that a lot of people are going to be interested to hear. So that's what we'll be doing today.
So first, we're going to start by talking about Maya Kowalski and who exactly she was. So Maya lived a normal life with her parents, Beata and Jack Kowalski, and her brother Kyle until she turned 9, and one hospital visit changed the course of her whole entire family's lives. Beata was born in Poland but moved to America when she was a teenager. She studied at nursing school before qualifying as a nurse and eventually marrying firefighter Jack Kowalski. Initially, the couple had difficulties conceiving before Maya and Kyle were born. Maya began suffering from headaches, asthma attacks, painful lesions on her arms and legs, and severe cramping in her feet. It started as an asthma attack while playing with sparklers with Kyle, but a few weeks later, Maya had so much pain all over her body, especially her legs and feet, that she was no longer able to walk. She would be in so much pain that her parents could hear her screaming at night, and as a nurse, Beata knew that, like, obviously these symptoms meant that something was, like, very seriously wrong and they shouldn't be ignored. So Maya's parents ended up taking her from doctor to doctor, but most of them failed to identify the root of their daughter's problems. Eventually, through parents of another child who suffered from chronic pain, Jack and Beata were told about an anesthesiologist and pharmacologist in Tampa who specialized in CRPS, Dr. Anthony Kirkpatrick, who finally diagnosed Maya with the rare disease. So, in case you don't know what CRPS is, which I don't think any of us really did or heard. I definitely haven't
heard of it before
coming across this case. It basically stands for Complex Regional Pain Syndrome, and it's defined by the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke as a broad term describing excessive and prolonged pain and inflammation that follows an injury to an arm or a leg. CRPS is acute, which means recent, short term, and chronic, which means that basically the pain is lasting greater than 6 months forms. Dr. Kirkpatrick suggested a ketamine infusion treatment as he'd used it successfully on many patients before Maya. Someone with CRPS has random bursts of excessive pain, meaning that even a tiny touch to the skin can lead to feelings of intense and excruciating pain, and ketamine has been found to alleviate these brutal symptoms. Unfortunately, this treatment was not approved by the FDA and could not be provided in the United States, so Dr. Kirkpatrick advised the family to travel to Mexico so that Maya could get this treatment. So the Kowalski ended up traveling to Mexico just in a desperate attempt to try anything to relieve their daughter's oppressive pain. And Maya was induced into a ketamine coma for 5 days before being woken up and continued to receive smaller doses of ketamine. Maya claimed that after this treatment, she felt amazing and she was being provided continued prescriptions of ketamine to help her with her flare-up.
So continuing on now with the story, Maya had been doing well on the ketamine treatment. However, in October 2015, the Kowalski family rushed Maya to Johns Hopkins Children's Hospital in Florida with severe stomach pain and cramps. The pain at this point was unbearable for Maya, with her father Jack quoting, "The pain was so severe, her knees were going up to her chest and she was screaming."
That is, oh, like, she's that a is child. Horrible.
Yeah. And she's, like, so young. Like, as someone that does suffer from chronic pain, like, I can't even imagine how much pain she must have been in.
To be in that kind of state.
To be in that state, yeah. So, desperate to help her daughter, Beata demanded that the hospital give her daughter high doses of ketamine. She explained that this will reset her nervous system and that this treatment had worked when they were in Mexico. So, she's basically asking for the, like, ketamine-induced coma again, the same thing again. So Instead of researching this treatment or asking further questions, Dr. Sally Smith decided that Beata had Munchausen by proxy, which if you guys have been listening to us before, you would have heard all about this in the Gypsy Rose Blanchard episode. If you haven't listened to that episode, go have a listen.
We explain all that.
Yeah.
That one, yeah.
So I won't go into too much detail here, but because of Dr. Smith's negligence, CPS were called and Maya was removed from her parents' custody and kept in hospital to suffer for 3 months.
This whole case pisses me the fuck off.
Yeah, so rather than actually like doing any investigating, like it's kind of like swings and roundabouts. So Gypsy Rose, they didn't investigate. They didn't check what was going on. When someone had an inkling, they didn't follow up on that. Yeah, and we all know how that happened. This is the opposite extreme where they've gone, oh, it must be Munchausen. So let's remove her from her parents. They can't have contact with her. We're not doing what they've told us to do because that's abuse. They're obviously abusing her.
Yeah. Yeah, not looking to consider anything else bar that.
Yeah.
They just made up their mind. They're like, oh, this is 100% what it is.
Yeah, this is
we're
Munchausen's.
We're not even going to bother.
That's it.
Yeah.
It makes me so angry as well because CPS is supposed to...
Protect children.
It's literally in their name, Child Protective Services.
And, like, as far as I was aware... The plan is always to keep the child with the parent unless there's some kind of health and safety
risk
in leaving them with their parents. So why guilty until proven innocent?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So during this time, Maya's family wasn't allowed to see her and Beata had to undergo psychological testing before being cleared of any mental illness. At the time, it was claimed that Smith was removing children from their homes at one of the highest rates in Florida's counties, which is just disgusting.
Yeah. It's vile.
The goal, as Becca said, is always to, if you're not going to keep them with the family, it's to return them to the family as soon as you can.
Yeah, and like, you can imagine just how scary all of this was for Maya.
Like, yeah.
She's obviously in pain. The doctors are like...
I don't know what's wrong.
Yeah.
No, you're not. It's all to do with your ma. Your ma's just abusing and that's why you think you're in pain, but you're not. And then on top of that as well, like the only people that actually believed what was happening to her and that her pain was real and all the rest were her parents who actually knew what the fuck was going on, but the doctors thought they knew better when they clearly didn't have a fucking clue.
And like, she had the prescription for the ketamine. It's not... Like
she got it on like the fucking dark web or off like some fella on the street.
And I know that like sometimes with Munchausen by proxy, you get those sort of diagnoses. You know, like Gypsy Rose had all of that stuff going on. But like it was from a doctor, and Dr. Kirkpatrick, who first diagnosed Maya with CRPS, confirmed her diagnosis to Smith in her initial investigation. So they've got the evidence from the doctor say, yes, she has this diagnosis. Whereas, like, other Munchausen by proxies, they bounce from doctor to doctor to doctor. No one can confirm
what
the diagnosis 100%. Is because they're only seeing a small part of the picture. They have an actual doctor going, this is what's wrong with her and this is the treatment.
Yeah.
And I know that even in the documentary and all, they were talking about it. Like, even the parents were describing just how frustrating that situation was because no matter how much they tried to explain it, and they had it, like you said, in writing, they were just like, we don't know what that is. That's not real.
Yeah.
Like, they just didn't know anything about CRPS. Like, they didn't know anything about that.
Yeah, they never heard of it.
They never heard of it. So they were like, that's made up. Clearly, you are just abusing your child.
Yeah.
But like
two and two equals 100 apparently in this hospital.
He formally warned that a child abuse case could cause needless and permanent harm to Maya and her family. However, Smith filed the case without including Kirkpatrick's warnings. So she ignored him and didn't even put what he said into her report. Yeah. After Maya's symptoms didn't improve, the Munchausen's by proxy diagnosis was withdrawn. Smith and other doctors began to believe she was entirely fabricating her symptoms. So it's like, oh, it's not Munchausen by proxy, but she must be making it up. It's all in her head. She's pretending. Beata was also formally evaluated and diagnosed with a depressive mood and adjustment disorder upon being separated from her daughter. Because, like, as Nancy said, Beata and Jack had struggled to conceive Maya in the first place.
Why would they abuse her when they had her?
Yeah, but not only that, being separated from a child that you tried so hard to conceive, like, Maya's their miracle baby.
Yeah.
Of course that's going to have an effect on Beata's mental health.
It's going to have an effect on the whole family, to be honest.
And essentially, everyone. You're being punished for trying to help your child. Like, you're doing everything, going to every hospital, taking every treatment that they can.
They went as far as going to Mexico. And obviously, you know, in America, like, it's not, like, there's no fucking HSE.
No.
Even with insurance, it's still
hundreds
big
and thousands.
And even if they did have insurance, I doubt their insurance would have worked in Mexico. And I can't remember, I think they did talk about it on the documentary, but it was, like, a good amount of money that they had spent.
Yeah.
To go get that treatment. And Dr. Anthony Kirkpatrick or whatever, like, he specialised in CRPS. So they went to him. Even though the treatments, they weren't covered by their insurance and they were paying all that out of pocket and it was costing them a fortune, but they went as far as doing all that.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to get help for their kid.
Yeah.
It's not like the Gypsy Rose case where all these other awful things happened to stop having any proof. They had proof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like this Dr. Sally Smith person, she reminds me of, like, a villain in one of those films, do you know, that you watch?
Yeah.
Where people, like, kids are taken away.
Yeah.
And it's just fucked up. I don't know, have you seen Hotel for Dogs?
I have.
I am sorry to my sister for embarrassing her on this podcast, but my mom brought us to see that film when it came out, right? And we were all kids. And when the two kids get separated, they're basically, like, in the foster system. And they have all these terrible foster parents. And their brother and sister, and they get separated and sent to different families. And, like, it's obviously this, like, tragic, horrible thing. And my mom, being my mom, started crying in the cinema. And my sister jumped up in the cinema and said, "Don't worry, mommy, we'll never be separated," and wrapped her arms around her.
That's so cute.
It is cute. I was really embarrassed. Was she? I don't know. When did that film come out?
It came out a while ago. I know I was a kid when it came out.
Yeah, I was a kid. And she's younger than me. I want to say she was 8, but I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like this Dr. Sally Smith person would be the one that would be like, separate them.
2009. Yeah. I would have been in 6th class. 2009.
2009. So she was 7.
Yeah. Aww.
You guys make me old.
And my 9-year old ass was like, my little 9-year old ass was sitting there scarlet, like, I can't believe she's doing this to me. Like, the cinema is full. My ma's bawling and my sister's like, it's okay.
Taking a whole ass scene.
I was like, this is more dramatic than the fucking
careful
film.
If Sally Smith would have been there, she would have called Child Protective Services.
True, yeah.
Yeah.
God forbid she show emotion in front of her child.
Oh god.
Yeah.
Must be abuse.
So next comes the most tragic part of this story, and it's that Beata actually died by suicide 87 days after she had been separated from her daughter and was found with a note which read, "I no longer can take the pain of being away from Maya and being treated like a criminal. I cannot watch my daughter suffer in pain and keep getting worse."
God, like, I remember, like, when I was watching the documentary and that came up, and then just hearing Maya talk about that whole experience and hearing Jack talk about that experience and finding his wife and reading the note and all that, like, it is
heartbreaking.
Like, the family's already going through so much fucking shit. Maya's going through so much fucking
Maya's
shit.
Maya's in hospital. She's expecting to be able to see her mum again. She wasn't allowed to see her mum while she was in hospital. They could talk on the phone, but someone was listening in the whole time.
Yeah.
So they couldn't have a real conversation. And the conversation's like, "We'll be together soon. We'll be together soon," and all of that. And then by the time she comes out of hospital, her mother's died. Like, and then for Jack to have to, like,
go through that, and he already has a sick child,
and like, that's...
And explain to
devastating.
Yeah. Like, even Maya was saying, I think, in the documentary, like, she never even got to say goodbye to her mom.
No.
She didn't even get to see her in the last, like, see her in person or be able to hug her. in 87 fucking days.
The last thing I think that they said to each other was see you soon.
Yeah.
Which I was bawling.
Stop, I feel like bawling.
Like, all that you would want to do, I don't have kids, but I can imagine that all that you would want to do when your child is in that much pain and is that sick and is being neglected by the hospital, all you want to do is pick them up and hold them.
Yeah.
Like, you can just imagine, I'd say the biggest regret that family had was bringing her to that hospital in particular.
100%.
And it's just so unfair, the fact that literally they were all after getting punished. Yeah, they took her away and all, but now her mom is gone. For trying to do the right thing and get her sick daughter help.
Yeah.
As any parent would fucking do. Any parent would do that. Your child is sick, you bring them to the hospital. You shouldn't even be thinking, oh shit, this hospital might take my child hostage.
Yeah.
And I might be made out to be a criminal and dragged through fucking court cases for God knows how many years.
Yeah, like, by all means, start an investigation if you really think that she's being abused. Yeah. Go ahead. But why take her away from her family?
Measures, yeah.
Well,
like, that just doesn't make sense to me.
Even when they ruled out Munchausen by proxy, they didn't allow that access back.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I understand why the Munchausen by proxy diagnosis was floating to a degree, because there was another Munchausen by proxy case where the mother was actually injecting salt into the IV.
Yeah.
And killed her son while he was in hospital. So I get the separation at that point.
Oh, of course.
We've already discussed, they ruled out Munchausen by proxy and they just thought Maya was faking it. So why not let them be together again? At that point, you should have been able to go, okay, we know your mother's not abusing you, so here you go. Here's your mum, here's your daughter, reunite them. But they carried on this whole fucking show going, no, you can't see each other. Like, who was benefiting from that?
No.
Because Maya wasn't getting any better.
Beata, and surely.
Beata got
wasn't.
Diagnosed after being separated with these issues.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah. Which
from
any
being separated,
parent
like,
would.
Even during the Munchausen investigation, the like, supervised visits, okay? Like, okay, she might be a danger to her child, so you get a social worker to stand there.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that fucking hard. There's no, like, absolutely no reason to not let her see her child. Even if you're really that afraid, let her stand on the other side of the fucking room and speak to her child.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
And you can also imagine, in a way, I'd say Maya probably does feel some form of guilt, because if she wouldn't have gotten sick, she wouldn't have needed to go to the hospital. And then her mom might have still been around.
Yeah.
I think she says that in the documentary.
I think she probably does, yeah.
Not that she has any, really. Like, it's no way near her fault, but...
The only fucking person that should have any form of guilt is the cunt in that fucking hospital and that...
Sally bitch.
That fucking Sally cunt.
Well, that Sally bitch did retire later on.
Good.
She needs to go to prison.
At least she's no longer a danger to the whole state of Florida.
She should be done for kidnapping. That's what she should be done for.
Yeah.
But in her head, here's her statement.
This pissed me off.
Here's Dr. Sally Smith's statement after she retired. I'm not a horrible person whose goal in life is to disrupt families. I've spent my entire adult life attempting to serve children in my community to ameliorate conditions of abuse and neglect.
That's bullshit, but okay. This bitch is delusional.
I hate her.
I don't think I've ever been so fucking pissed off by someone in a true crime documentary like I have with this woman.
It continues. I wish our society did more to help struggling families to provide safe, nurturing homes to their children.
Well, then why the fuck didn't you do that?
Yeah.
Why didn't you do that to actual kids that are being neglected instead of fucking random ass innocent people?
I'm not a big proponent of punitive approaches for such families, contrary to media portrayals about me. We have children that come to see us that have less serious injuries, where a recommendation is made for a child to be removed for their safety. The next
recommendations.
The next day, the judge declines that request. Just because they determined they're not going to proceed with criminal charges doesn't mean that there wasn't child abuse or that I, quote unquote,
hold on,
made a mistake.
Hold you on, made a big fucking hold mistake.
On. So this bitch thinks she's above the law. She thinks she's above the fucking courts. Hold on. I know I said that she was delusional, but this is like some next level delusion. Like, who do you think you are?
I hope if she has kids, they've been taken away from her because she's clearly the abusive one.
She's clearly not even able to do her own fucking job, and now she's here telling the fucking bleeding judge how to do his.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
She's basically saying that judges haven't wanted to proceed because the injuries weren't as serious.
No, it's because you're making false claims.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, who are we supposed to believe? A judge who sees hundreds and thousands of these cases, has been a lawyer probably before and defended in these cases. 100%. Or you stupid bitch who just keeps taking kids away from their parents.
And clearly hasn't got a fucking clue what she's doing.
Yeah. Somehow every other social worker in Florida doesn't seem to think that half the nation doesn't deserve their kids.
She tries to justify here. I saw hundreds of babies and children who were killed or maimed by abusive head trauma. I saw hundreds more babies and children who had multiple broken bones from abuse, including young infants, more than 20 fractures in different stages of healing. I saw numerous children with ruptured intestines and internal organs from abusive abdominal trauma, some of whom died. I wish that people who seek to vilify child abuse pediatricians would somehow find the critical knowledge, tools, and framework to better understand and represent the tremendous challenges these children and their family and caretakers present to our society and for physicians. But I'm not being funny, right? The amount of cases that we have seen where kids are being abused and nothing's been done, she has gone to the opposite extreme and is literally taking people, separating families that by her own volition haven't done anything wrong.
Because she has a hunch.
Yeah.
Because like, she fucking feels like it.
Your job is not to take children from their families. Your job is to assess their injuries and assess what may be causing their pain and report to Child Protective Services if needed. You took one look at this child, you took one look at her ma, and you said, she is fine and she has Munchausen's by proxy. Without even researching what her mother, who was a nurse, was telling her was wrong with her.
Yeah.
Like, at the very least.
Not just the mother, but the doctor that diagnosed her.
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't want to take the mother's word, take the other doctor's word. You are a doctor. Your name is Dr. Sally Smith.
So, a rant about Dr. Sally Smith is now over. But basically, after her mother died, Maya was released into her father's custody about 5 days later. The entire family has filed a lawsuit against Johns Hopkins Children's Hospital, hoping to get justice not only for Maya's pain and suffering, but for the whole family and the loss of their mother. Maya is now 17 years old, and not only will she suffer from CRPS for the rest of her life due to the lack of treatment she received in the hospital, there is also a court order stating that she cannot receive any ketamine treatment, which just makes me so angry. Like, she's been deprived of treatment for so long. Her mom was taken away from her. Her family is destroyed, and she can't even get her pain relief anymore.
Yeah. The one thing that was helping. Now, I think there was a reason for that as well, because whilst the ketamine was helping, the side effects or the long-term consequences of being on high dosages of ketamine would cause other issues. Yeah. So that one, I can see the other side of it as to why she's not allowed it anymore.
Yeah.
But she probably wouldn't have been as bad if she'd have had that treatment in the first place when she was supposed to have had it.
Yeah, and we're going to give a quote from Dr. Anderson to kind of explain if she had have received the ketamine treatment, how that would have changed this whole outcome. He spoke for Maya during the whole situation with Child Protective Services. So when Maya relapsed, she could have very successfully recovered, but Johns Hopkins removed all proven therapies and treated her as a psychiatric patient. As a consequence, her CRPS is now a threat to her life and will manifest over her 30s and early 50s with more frequent, longer duration, and more severe and painful events. Maya has CRPS and will have an exacerbation for the rest of her life. Jack, Kyle, and Maya will continue to live with the consequences of Johns Hopkins Children's Hospital's actions for the rest of their lives. Johns Hopkins has not stopped there. They continue to prolong the court hearing, dragging out the Kowalskis' unbelievable trauma and depriving them from living a normal life and doing what they can to be at peace and mourn the loss of Beata. The family settled with Dr. Sally Smith for $2.5 million, but their legal battle with Johns Hopkins and Kathy Beatty, who was Maya's social worker, is still ongoing. The family's attorney, Greg Anderson, has said that they would have been unable to do so if it wasn't for Beata's meticulous note-keeping of her daughter's symptoms and treatments. A quote from him is, "The only reason that we were able to bring this case to trial, where every other attempt of a similar case in history has failed, is because Beata documented everything and read everything. Beata was a force of nature in taking care of her family. The depth of loss is beyond words." The trial is set to start this month, but so far I can't find a published date for it to begin. And as of now, it's the 15th of September. Mm-hmm. So not sure if it's going to go ahead this month. But the family are eager to move past this traumatic time in their lives so they can remember their mother as the amazing, caring person that she was and not be tormented by the horrific things that the family had to endure. And a quote from Maya is, "For us as a family to move on, we need to fulfill my mom's wish and fight. I want justice for my mom."
Bless her and bless her whole fucking family, honestly. And I know we didn't really talk about it in this episode, but they do talk about it in a Netflix documentary. Like, Maya's case was one of many that happened with this hospital.
Yeah, loads of families came forward saying it was the same thing.
Same person that Sally won. She was definitely an instigator in a lot of shit.
Some people literally got sent to jail.
Yeah.
For abuse
that wasn't happening.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, for some unknown reason beyond me, somehow seem to take her word for a lot of shit.
Yeah. It just makes no sense. And for it to still be going on now when she's 17...
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, that family is never going to move on. They're never going to have a normal life.
They can't bring their mom back to have a normal life.
They can't even try to have a normal life. They can't even try to move on and just remember how amazing their mom was, because they're constantly being dragged down by this hospital. And you'd think that the hospital would be embarrassed, like completely and utterly ashamed of themselves, that they want to get this over with, but instead they're causing the Kowalskis more stress, more pain, and more fees for lawyers.
It's actually vile.
It's disgusting.
It's literally, do you know what, I understand, kind of, okay, fair enough, they were trying to be extra vigilant because, you know, child abuse cases, they do happen, unfortunately. It is the reality of the world. They do happen. And I do think it's so important that there are people looking out for these signs. But like you were saying, they went polar opposite. And by getting like innocent families, you know, torn apart over this stuff, like, it's almost kind of taken away from the real victims in child abuse cases.
Yeah.
Because they're just kind of saying, oh, well, you're being abused. And you're... like, they're fucking Oprah up in here. They're like, everyone's being abused. All the children are abused. But it's like causing trouble for families that are literally doing absolutely nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And then there probably are still, you know, many child abuse cases that are just going unnoticed.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, there is...
And they're focusing too much on bullshit.
Bullshit. That's the thing. Like, there's so, so, so many cases that are... heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. Like the Gabriel Fernandez, like, that broke my
heart. That's the one I watched.
Oh my god.
It's on Netflix. I watched it over COVID.
Maybe we will cover it on the podcast, but it's a heavy one.
Yeah.
But cases like that make you wish that social workers were more vigilant, or pediatricians were more vigilant when addressing these issues. However, better safe than sorry doesn't mean remove every child that you think might be getting abused. It means you need to take the correct steps, whether you're a somebody reporting to Child Protective Services or you are Child Protective Services, you investigate, you look into it. And when you think that that child is genuinely at risk, then you take them from custody. But you can't just look at somebody and decide that they're being abused.
If that Sally Smith was over here, like, I bruise so fucking easily. If she'd have seen me as a kid, she'd be like, she's abused. If you look at me right now, I literally slightly knocked my leg off of my desk in work, and the bruise on my leg is ridiculous. If anyone saw my legs, they'd think that Alan's beating the shit out of me.
If I didn't know Alan, I've seen the bruise, I would think that she was beating her.
So, like, I would have been taken away from my mom. Like, some kids bruise easily.
Kids are kids, though. Kids get out, they play. Like, I used to be the same when I was a child. I used to be climbing walls, jumping off walls, doing cartwheels.
One of mine and Alan's friends, his daughter, literally, that kid cannot go a year without breaking a bone. Like, she broke both of her arms at the same time once. She fell over in the playground. They've got CCTV footage of this kid falling in the playground. Her legs ended up pointing the wrong way. She looks at it, goes, that doesn't look right, and puts it right again.
Jesus Christ.
She broke a femur. And, like, if Sally Smith had seen that, I'd be like, that kid's broken too many bones. It must have been abuse. It must have been a bruise. No.
No.
She's just really fucking accident prone.
Yeah.
I basically lived in Temple Street Hospital when I was a child. Not because I was getting abused, because I was a clumsy bitch. I ran into a fucking bench, for fuck's sake. Like, I wasn't fucking getting abused, you know what I mean? Like, kids, shit happens.
Yeah.
Even my mom now. There's so many, like, CCTV footage that she sent me of her at work falling off a ladder. She doesn't have any need to be on a ladder, but there's videos of her walking past wet floor signs and slipping on the wet floor. Like, some people are just unfortunate. Not every case is an abuse case. Either way, both ends of the spectrum are wrong. We need to find, like, a healthy medium where these cases can be investigated correctly, where kids aren't being harmed by their parents, but also aren't being harmed by being taken away from them.
Yeah.
Exactly,
But that's all for today. That's the case of Maya Kowalski and the tragic shit that that poor girl has been through before she's even an adult. But we hope that you enjoyed the episode, I guess. Maybe not enjoyed, but we hope that you found it interesting and hopefully you got some information that maybe you didn't have before. And if you haven't watched the Netflix documentary, the link is in the description, and there's a couple of news articles that we used as well for research, and that's where we got a lot of the quotes, so you can check those out too. But yeah, thanks for listening. Until next time,
bye.